Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
That. Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
It's bent the wrong way.
His
leg is bent the wrong way, man. Oh, yeah, he's done. His leg's done.
Did he break his leg?
Yeah, his leg is gone.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are in the Town Fair Atara Studios, 617-779-0985. You just heard Shredding Galore from Phil Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
Shredder.
Wasn't he in a band called Cranston?
It sounds right.
That is not a good name for a band.
The most metal city in all of Rhode Island.
Hello, Cranston.
That's right. It's the Gene. It's the Jorts capital of New England.
Hello. Cranston.
What's up there, Paul Stanley? How
we want to get as specific as possible.
Cranston.
Cranston.
Yes, Sam. Cranston. And opening for Cranston, Warwick.
Let's not go crazy. I like to keep it very local. Locals only.
Hyper-local, yes.
Keep the scene alive in Cranston.
What's up, Bald Hill Road? Looking right at you.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Cranston.
Yeah,
that's a band that's not good. Just based on its name, is not going anywhere.
Yeah, probably not. You know. Say your height's a little bit bigger, your sight's a little bit bigger. I mean, there's like Boston, you know.
Sure.
A band called America. There's Europe. You know, how about just Providence?
And there's Chicago.
Worcester. Pawtucket. These are all cities that probably would have been. Yeah, Everett.
Yeah.
Probably even better than
North Conway.
North Conway, yeah. Do all your songs about Santa's Village. Every single one.
Here's a little song called Storyland.
Yes.
There's creepy.
Creepy trees with faces and something that looks like a singing testicle as you leave.
And stuff that's been around long enough that you don't have to pay for the rides.
That's pretty much how they make their money. That's
public
right.
domain! That's what's here. Public domain! Yes, that's a Storyland. No good.
So he said, whoa, don't hate on Cranston. It's the greatest little city in Rhode Island.
I don't even know where Cranston is.
South of Providence. I used to live in Warwick, believe it or not.
Well, right, why would there. I not believe it? It's not far.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you said you lived on the moon.
That's true. Cranston.
By the way, that video, I also played the clip of there of the Bills Mafia guy jumping from the RV and breaking both of his legs. So when you first watch it, I retweeted it yesterday. When you first see that video, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that bad. But when you know how it ends, it is a difficult rewatch. The man might be the least aware of how to even attempt to injure yourself the least. Like, he goes straight-legged, straight down, feet first into the table. And the table breaks, obviously, no problem, because the guy's about almost three bills. And just his legs go and just buckle both ways as he lies on the ground, writhing in pain. Didn't even attempt to go on his back. Didn't even attempt to go on his butt. Anything that would brace his fall, just I'm going straight leg, feet first.
Now, how far is the... He's up on a trailer.
He's on an RV, yes.
Okay, so it's probably what? It's probably like 9 feet, 8 feet?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Probably more like 9 feet, 10 feet, yeah.
Who breaks that? You could fall 10 feet and not break your legs.
But if you go straight leg,
if you go straight
and you have
leg,
all that weight crashing down on those knees and legs?
And the table, like, taking your knee, like your leg out from almost underneath you and it landing awkwardly. Ugh.
Yeah, because you should be able to jump, because, like, if with these guys who dunk, they can pull themselves up to their chest. I mean, they're basically falling.
Right.
You know, 8 feet.
Well, these are fat guys doing this stuff.
I was going to say.
This is just like a big fat guy.
Like, if it was a 10-foot window and there was a fire, I'd feel fairly confident I could get out of that without snapping both of my legs.
Yeah, when you're not taller than 6 feet and you're fat and you're jumping from an RV and you have no technique whatsoever, the chances of you breaking your legs jumping on a table are probably pretty high.
Yeah, because I would think that without any kind of doubt, if there was a situation where I had to jump, even if I was like in like an old school comedy, if I was having sex with the preacher's daughter or something and he came home, I'd jump out the 10-story window.
You realize that when you have the cowboy hat over the crotch, you're going to escape that way. You're, oh, my goodness gracious.
That was Sonny Wisecarver in what movie is that with Patrick Dempsey?
Loverboy?
It might have been Loverboy.
The Woo-Woo Kid?
The Woo-Woo Kid. Yeah, Sonny Wisecarver.
Yeah,
yes.
There was the...
He jumped out the window with the cowboy hat over his crotch.
Yeah, there was a time, yes, where Patrick Dempsey was just in screwball comedies.
Yep.
He was in, obviously, Can't Buy Me Love, which I've seen recently, fairly recently.
I remember Can't Buy Me Love being a pretty good movie.
Can't Buy Me Love, I don't know if you could do it now because he buys the woman, you know, they might look down on that now.
But it's just a date, right? He didn't, like, buy to have sex or anything.
No, but he buys her for, like, it's more than just a date. It's like there's her, you know, there's nothing physical. In fact, when she wants to get physical, one weird thing about it is she's the least attractive by far of, like, the main girls.
Her friend that he winds up in the car with was far better looking.
Oh, far better looking.
Far better looking.
Like, she looks
and
like
more
she,
willing to take her clothes off, too.
She
which
looks
is,
like you know. She had dwarfism or something, the one from Can't Buy Me Love. If you look back at it, her head's like giant and
really?
Her body's small.
She's huh? Annie, right?
Check that out.
She's Annie. She's the actress who was Annie in the Annie movie.
All I know is she's a huge drug addict, and I'm giving you 75% she's not alive.
All right, now, now I'm going to have to look.
I'm giving you.
It's piqued my curiosity.
Because it was bad enough, like, where it was like in Us Magazine, and who cares about that girl? Right. But yeah, he, and then there's Loverboy, where he goes and gets in a situation where he's a male prostitute, and his mother orders him. So he gets into the room, and then he's got to, like, skedaddle out the window. And then there's the underappreciated woo-woo kid.
Which I've never seen, and I've seen a million movies.
Yeah, man. Sally Kellerman is the angel that makes him the woo-woo kid.
She's dead.
Well done.
Yep.
What'd she die of, the crack cocaine?
Accidental morphine overdose.
Ah, oh,
well
geez.
Done.
Jesus. That's the way you want to go.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you, though, that's the way you want to go. That is a painless death.
Wow. The fact that you nailed that is scary.
It's not, because it was,
oh, man.
Like, you knew she died, like, in a bad way. Like, she had all these, because it was in, like, traditional media. It wasn't like you had to search around for it. Like, because she looked all, like, effed up.
Amanda Peterson was her name.
Yep.
Yeah, she was Annie.
Okay.
From the,
From the famous movie, yeah.
Oh. Well, well, well. So perhaps she did have dwarfism.
I don't know about that.
How tall is she?
She was on Silver Spoon. She played Sally Frumble, Fred. How do you not know that? Sally Frumble.
What was her height?
I don't know.
Are you on IMDb?
I am on IMDb.
It should say her height.
I'd have to take a look.
If she's not 4'11", she's not a...
5'4", it says.
Oh, come on.
I mean, according to IMDb, yeah, I mean, so I don't know.
That's like when they say Edelman's whatever he is. So Teddy Johnson's supposed to be in today, apparently food poisoning. So there's an hour of the show that's gone.
Someone says, Rich, she wasn't Annie. She was. I'm looking at her IMDb. Says it right here.
Do you know they did a big national search for Annie?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I just heard This American Life about it, about people that were on TV when they were young. Did a national search on TV for Annie.
Whatever happened to Punky Brewster? Because I know that she grew up to be kind of like good looking, but like what happened?
Salil Moonfry had a very large bosom.
Yes.
And she was in an episode of The Wonder Years where her bosom was featured, but then she had a breast reduction and everything kind of dried up.
Mm-hmm. Very good looking, as I remember, when she got older.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was cute, but she disappeared.
I think it was more of she was very bosomy.
I thought you like her in the face. She was
yeah,
too.
It was very difficult to see. The
no,
face.
Once you got past that, I think the face was also very.
Well, she did a scene in The Wonder Years where she's running in slow motion, so you can see her breast bump to and fro.
Yes.
So I don't think that they were overly concerned with her face. Her dad on that show is dead.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see the scary Punky Brewster when you want to speak about? Talking trees. There's one where they get lost, and there's like it's a Halloween episode, and it's all freaky.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking like a very special episode, which were the scariest of them all.
It might have been a special episode, like Don't Leave.
I meant to tell you, Fred. I saw a news story, and I immediately thought of you. So, do you remember back in the like early '90s, late '80s, when they would do TGIF, and like for an entire night? All the shows went to Disney World?
Yes.
Okay, guess what they're doing like in like a couple weeks? They're all going to Galaxy's Edge over at Disney World. Like all of like the ABC shows like Black-ish and all the other ones. Everyone's because it's like the same company. Okay. They have to, like somebody into these shows and said, all right, you're forced to revolve the entire storyline on going to our feature property.
So any plot line that you have going in the show is complete. They're all bottle episodes.
Right.
Everyone goes on vacation.
Every plot line that you've been building is gone.
Yep.
So, and then you just have to cram it into this piece of garbage.
And every episode needs to have a 5-minute segment where they show you just how awesome it is to fly the Millennium Falcon at Galaxy's Edge in Disney World. So they're bringing it back, Fred.
If anything needs more promotion, it's Galaxy's Edge.
I think they're worried because what happened was when they opened Galaxy's Edge, they scared so many people about how crowded it was going to be, and the numbers of attendance actually went down. Did you read that?
No.
Yeah, like people were scared to go to Disneyland when it opened because there had been so many warnings about
how it was going to be insane, how you're going to have to like reserve in order to just get into that area. On top of that, I think they even raised the price of the hotels by a little bit for the first like 2 months when it opened because they knew it was going to be crazy and they thought that was a way of controlling the crowds. Well, it controlled them. And it was less than a year before it even opened, the number of people that went. When they thought it was going to be a boom, it did the opposite. So all the hype had scared people away, and that's why they're doing this. They're freaking out because they sunk so much money into it, and they obviously want to tell people, hey, you can come. Please show up. You don't have to wait for 3 hours to get on the ride, but still, it's not going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
Which it still may be.
So is it the Friday lineup, or is it the – because now Black-ish dominates the Tuesday night lineup because they have Mix-ish starring Mark Paul
Gosselaar.
I know that Black-ish was one of the shows, and I forget what the other ones were, but it's like it was like four or five different ABC sitcoms that they are throwing in. They have to go to Galaxy's Edge.
Like Black-ish just said, we're having very special episodes, and we're going to have them about every other episode.
I stopped
watching a long time ago. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, let's get next to the Antonio Brown saga. He was in court yesterday, filming himself.
All right, we'll hear all about it.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Tub. Do you like to watch?
The answer is certainly.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
.985 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, since no one from the Patriots, not Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, not even Ernie Adams, will comment on the abrupt end of the Antonio Brown saga, we're all left to wonder just what the hell happened there and how did it all go down? Well, according to the Ringer's Ryan Russillo, Bill Belichick may have been the lone gunman in pulling the trigger on signing Antonio Brown. Here is
Rotillo.
On what he knew and when he knew it.
Back to the beginning of this deal, apparently Bill didn't talk to anybody else about how he structured the deal and treated Brown like he was just a normal guy that was a high-profile free agent. So instead of doing a roster bonus, hey, let's just call it, you know, 750, call it $1 million a week when you're on the 46-man and ready to go to make sure that you're invested in this whole thing, like, that's how it should have been treated. And other people around the league were like, man, that's a really weird way of doing this. And that's apparently what Bill just did. Bill got with Drew, trusted Drew, and just went ahead and gave him this deal. So now you can say, okay, well, wait a minute. Has Brown been paid any of this money? Some people thought he was at least on or by today. I checked with somebody in New England. They said, no, he hasn't seen any of that dough. But if you look at the CBA, despite it feeling like players never get anything in the negotiations with owners, when it comes to civil complaints and the contract says the bonus is due today and the next bonus is due in March, that it's still very much in favor of the player. And that's what Brown's going to fight.
Okay. Number one, I don't know why anyone would have a problem with Belichick being the lone decision maker here. I mean, the best organizations, they let the football guys make football decisions, especially when that football guy is the best ever in Bill Belichick.
The best ever personnel guy, but
But he's somebody that has earned the most amount of carte blanche to do what he wants with his team.
Well, I don't know.
Don't you agree?
I don't know if I can think of another case of someone who didn't have to get ownership approval.
Well, he's the GM. I mean,
GMs talk to the owners when they're spending $10 million.
Well, that's the only other part of it that
Brown's getting the money.
Well,
apparently since he played against Miami, that pretty much guarantees that he's going to get that
yeah,
money.
Yeah, Michael, well, Michael McCann said as much yesterday.
Well, yeah, I mean, so you're right, because the one thing that they had was the plausible, not plausible deniability, it's that they withheld something when they signed him, and the Patriots were going to complain that because Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown had knowledge of this civil suit that could drop at any moment, that they could get their money back. And as you said, Fred, I mean, the moment you step on the field for that Miami game, you've given up all that. Because what that's saying is that, all right, we knew about all this, but we still wanted you to play. It's not like you just step back then and just go, oh, hey, you know what? Oops, we completely forgot about that awful thing that you did that we wish we'd have known about. Then why did you play him in the first place?
Yeah, a controversial signing like this for that much guaranteed money, I think it's very, very rare, if at all, where a GM will just go lone wolf and not get approval of ownership.
But the only thing that people all seem to forget, though, is that it wasn't a very controversial signing. Now, here's what I'll say. $9 million guaranteed is a lot of money, and I just don't see the Krafts not having one clue about the deal. That seems a bit unrealistic. If it was something less than that, then sure, I could see Bill Belichick being the only guy. But as far as like this being so controversial where you had to get approval from the Krafts, you got to remember at that point, there was no civil suit. There were no claims of rape. He was just a clown who wouldn't wear his helmet.
No, it's a controversy.
Secretly record his coach.
No, he had just shot his way out of town with two teams. It was a very controversial signing. I mean, we talked about it here.
I think from an investment standpoint, it wasn't too nutty.
Everyone thought that the guarantee was way too much.
Yeah.
Everyone thought that you're giving this guy too much money up front.
Considering the way he acted at the end of last season with Pittsburgh and the way the diva act he performed, I mean, we were all sitting here thinking, okay, John Gruden is a Super Bowl winning head coach, and he's taking an enormous amount of crap from this guy just to keep him on the roster. And that included when Antonio Brown secretly recorded that phone conversation and put it out on social media. Gruden actually bent over backwards and said, "That's awesome, man." Any head coach would have lost it. And Gruden swallowed his pride.
No, and then
Belichick was a completely controversial signing.
It was a big controversial signing, and we talked about it ad nauseum. It was an incredibly controversial signing.
I think the only thing controversial was the money. No, and that's why I think that the Krafts probably were involved.
I don't know if you have amnesia, but we talked about this quite a bit. Antonio Brown was the biggest story of the young season. And so Bill Belichick wasn't right. Bill Belichick was incredibly wrong.
Oh, sure. But what I'm saying is that I don't think that he needed to get permission to make a football move except for the amount of money. That's the only thing that I believe that the Krafts probably were like, well, for $9 million, you should let us be in on this. And that's why I don't believe what Russillo's saying.
I believe everything that Russillo's saying. Well, and that because it doesn't go against.
So you believe the Krafts had no idea that Bill Belichick was signing?
That's what they claim. That's what reports have been.
And you believe that?
Yes. I believe that Belichick has gone off the reservation and feels he can do whatever he wants. And that's why Kraft was so pissed. I guess Kraft, when the tweets came out, was apoplectic because.
Well, we know that. But you don't think that they had any idea that they were going to use $9 million of the money, that he had no idea until it was done.
Yep.
See, that I don't believe.
You see, we've discussed this back and forth about where the power is. And, you know, Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo, and Kraft steps in and goes, nope, Tom Brady's the quarterback, get rid of him. Remember they went behind the scenes and you saw Robert Kraft go into Belichick's office and sit in one of those uncomfortable chairs. And that's the thing. Kraft would go to Bill and discuss football in Bill's office. That's the one thing that lends me to believe that Fred is right here, in that football decisions, Kraft stays upstairs. It's kind of like we were talking about the Red Sox yesterday. Money guys hire baseball guys because money guys aren't baseball guys. Same thing with ownership in this case. I think Kraft is the money guy, Belichick's the football guy, and in matters dealing with football, Kraft will defer. And I think it's entirely possible that Belichick went off the reservation and signed this guy.
Yeah, and then this is not a situation like you made a trade for a seventh-round pick.
Now, it built up over years of trust. The reason Bill Parcells left here is because Kraft, as a new owner, kept meddling, and Bill's like, I want no part of this. Get me out of here. But over the course of time, over the course of the last 20 years, there's a trust that's been built up there, and Belichick has earned that trust.
So do you think he knew? Because you said, well, this isn't a situation where it's a seventh-round pick. Well, that would obviously be one that Kraft doesn't need to know about. So you're saying that he should have known about this?
Yeah.
So you do think he knew?
No, he should have, but didn't.
Oh, okay. You see, I mean, it's an interesting story. And if that's the case, I mean, just think of what kind of crazy-ass rift that caused. I mean,
I think there's been a rift there for a little while. I mean, if you look at what's been going on.
It started with the Garoppolo thing. It really came to the forefront. I'm sure there were times where they clashed over the years, but it started with the Garoppolo thing because that kind of altered the future of this franchise. Mm-hmm. And now there's this. And I think this is pretty significant considering the trail of burning bridges that Brown has left behind him in the last, 6 months?
Right. Yeah. And if I was the owner of the team and I wasn't put in the loop, I'd be pretty pissed off too.
Somebody said that Kraft never would have given the Thomas a 1,000,000% in quote if he had never approved the decision. I don't think that's true. I think that he could have found out. Right. He could have found out that he was signed. And then Robert Kraft talked to Tom Brady. What do you think about this signing? I don't think he had to know ahead of time.
And that took some of the stink off it for him. My quarterback is fine with it. This is the guy I like. I'm good.
I still believe he did just because of the money. But either way, it's interesting because it did. No matter whether he knew or he didn't know, he didn't do deal. I guarantee you that Robert Kraft doesn't think that Bill Belichick did enough due diligence to find out about the stuff that was coming out.
Sounds like.
So there's a rift either way.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't. If you're Robert Kraft, you're pissed no matter what.
Right.
Especially because of what this all turned
into.
And
every time it keeps happening. Every time Antonio Brown is in the news, you see a picture of him in a Patriots uniform.
Right.
That's got to bother him no end.
And the fact that you're going to have to pay him and the fact that he only played one game. All right, Rich. After the headlines, what are we going to talk about?
All right, let's get to some of this crazy court case that he's involved in. On top of that, the Red Sox, they just keep throwing around names for GMs. It's getting a little more interesting. There's a little more heat on a few of them there, John.
All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sport.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Boston's home for sports. John Rick. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Kevin, go ahead.
Okay. Wallach mentioned the Wickersham story, and whenever anybody mentions it, you mention it as if it was factual. But the Wickersham story is the polar opposite of the Jay Glazer story that dropped right after the trade, not in the middle of a playoff run, but it dropped right after the trade, and Jay Glazer said that John Lynch inquired to Bill Belichick about Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick laughed at him and said, I would never do that. And then the Wickersham story drops, and everyone just decides to believe something that dropped in the middle of a playoff run that was the opposite of the story from Jay Glazer.
You're talking about the Garoppolo thing.
Yes, because Wallach mentioned the Wickersham thing earlier in a factual manner as if the Wickersham thing was a fact.
So why do you choose to believe Jay Glazer over Seth Wickersham?
I choose to believe Jay Glazer because his story came out right after the trade, not in the middle of a playoff run, which means so if someone had – if there was a way to tip – a reason to tip the scales – it would be the playoff run one, not Jay Glazer saying something right after the trade.
Why would Wickersham want to unbalance the playoff run?
I have no idea. I mean, well, come on.
Why would he want to do
What's
that?
What's his motivation?
Somebody had to do it.
Let me defend you for a second, Kevin. His motivation would be because he wants a lot of clicks in a salacious article. I understand that.
No, but that's not where he was getting at, and you interrupted. No, he was saying that.
Hold on, I like Rich's point.
No, but that wasn't what your point was.
He's supporting you.
No, your point was...
You're just doing an awful job, Kevin, defending yourself. Throw your lifeline.
Your point was that you think Wickersham was doing it to disrupt the Patriots.
Well...
Yes.
Well, that's crazy.
That's exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, so that's crazy. That's absolutely wild. They never conspire against the Patriots. That's lunacy. Okay,
so you think that the media makes a concerted effort to undermine the Patriots?
Not so much as they used to, but either way, you guys don't even recognize openly that Jay Glazer has a completely conflicting story than Seth Wickersham.
It depends on who you believe.
No. Lynch came out and said it. Lynch came out and said that he called Bill Belichick and said, "I want to make a deal." I mean, Lynch confirmed it. It came out of his own mouth.
All right, so how does the Wickersham story make sense if Belichick laughed at him?
He didn't. Lynch said he called him, and they got the deal done in like 10 minutes.
Was it Lynch or Jay Glazer?
It was Lynch. You know who Lynch is?
Yes, I know who Lynch is, the big hitter. I already know.
Lynch is the GM of the 49ers.
Yeah, thanks for letting me know. Thanks for making me aware, Fred. I'm aware now. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, so he came out and said it himself.
Lynch wanted Brady and that Belichick laugh.
He said the guy who made the trade said that he called Bill Belichick and they got it done in like no time.
That's because Lynch went back and said, "Okay, if I can't have Brady, can I have Garoppolo?"
Thank you. Thank you. So how does the Wickersham story ring true?
Because
it happened after they had had the meeting, after Kraft and Belichick had spoken about the issue.
So Belichick just laughed and said, "That's crazy to trade Tom Brady," but the meeting was that he wanted to trade Tom Brady. It's either crazy in the meeting or it's not. It's crazy that he wanted to trade Tom Brady or it's not. He laughed at John Lynch as if it were crazy. And then Wickersham conflicts the story, and you guys choose Wickersham.
Yes, that's correct.
I don't know what happened.
John Wallach, and Rich, I believe you two conflict the. I believe you two ride with the Wickersham story.
Yes, that's correct.
Because you consciously don't want to seem like homers.
No, you're saying that I believe this. It's some kind of calculated maneuver to stay on one side of the story. Is that what you're telling me?
What are we arguing?
With Rich. Well, no, we'll ride with Rich's theory.
No. You're telling me that my belief is, I'm giving you this belief because I consciously want to stay on the anti-homer side of things? Is that what you're telling me?
What is your reason?
I believe Seth Wickersham. From all I've read and all the media people I've talked to.
Hold on, let me defend myself here, real quick. Because Kevin's whole entire premise is wrong. Belichick laughed at Lynch not because he was asking about Garoppolo, it's because he asked about Tom Brady.
Yeah, and that was funny to Belichick. It's a laugh.
Well, then your whole premise is like completely wrong. Why are we talking about this stupid story?
Because Wickersham said Belichick wanted to trade Brady. If Belichick's laughing about trading Brady, you guys are crazy. Ha ha ha, no way. Then why would Wickersham write a story that Belichick wanted to trade Brady?
Wickersham's story was vetted and turned out to be true. Tom Curran supported Wickersham's article.
Okay, what about Glazer?
I don't even remember what Jay Glazer said.
He just explained it.
That's a fact.
It all comes down to what you believe. You believe one thing, I believe another thing. That's what it comes down
to.
But the fact that you think that I am on one side of this topic as a calculated maneuver could not be further from the truth.
He thinks the media is out to get the Patriots.
Well, yeah, that's obvious.
God forbid someone think that.
Yeah, because you're insane.
Chris Morton,
because you're insane.
The media would never be up to get the Patriots.
Well, the Morton thing was ridiculous,
and that was designed entirely to hurt the Patriots.
It did hurt the Patriots.
You think he said that to deliberately hurt the Patriots? You think that he deliberately lied?
He never retracted the owners to make sure.
I don't know why he did it, but do we all agree? I don't know. The Morton thing's different.
No, it's not. He didn't. I don't believe that Mortensen said, "Ooh, how can I get at the Patriots?"
No. But once he knew the facts, he didn't redact it.
Fine. That's fine. But the idea that the media is out there like desperately. Do you know what? These people are adults that do this for a living. As much as you base your life around the Patriots, these people are journalists for the most part that are working to make a living and to put food on the table.
And also almost...
Not to sabotage a team because they don't like them.
Well, teams have... I mean, they're almost every like team has writers that have agendas against them. And it's not just a Patriots thing. It's just that since the Patriots are the most successful team in the NFL, you're going to have more of those.
They're absolutely writers who have agendas. They might have columnists that have an agenda against the Patriots, not guys that are reporting news. That's ridiculous. And if you believe that, you've been in this effing town too long.
What, that there are writers who have agendas against certain teams? That's absolutely true.
That you think that
I don't think the Wickersham thing was like that.
No, but you think that people do stories with sources and vetted stories just to get at the Patriots?
No. I think that there are writers who look for things that are negative about certain teams.
Like a columnist.
That happens with a lot of people.
But just, like an opinion piece.
Yep. Yeah,
that's fine, but that's not news.
I think there are people out there who have vendettas against the Patriots, and those people might be sources that feed writers. Indirectly, it happens that way, but there aren't writers that say, okay, I'm going to put together a hit piece on the Patriots because I can't stand these guys. There are no writers like that.
I mean, they have a job to do. They're a little bit jaded. I mean, they're not. Do you think that they sit around and with jerseys on watching the games?
No, there's no cut. You were talking about the lodge. There's no lodge of writers across this country that get together and say, "How can we mess with the Patriots?" and rub their hands together and go, "Wahaha."
They're trying to make a living. This is what they do for a job. And do you think if you've been covering sports as like a Wickersham, writing journalistic pieces, that you care that much about what team, what they're doing on the field? I mean, give me a break.
Well, I think there are people that know that when you write something bad about a team that's successful, you're going to get clicks.
Well, yeah, because
so you
more,
lean that way.
Well, but there for years, no, the Patriots, except for Spy. I mean, there's been years where the Patriots didn't get any crap. I mean, they got Spygate, but that was reported by a head coach. I mean, I just think it's so funny that you think that these guys are sitting around trying to find ways to like get at the Patriots. It's embarrassing. These guys are trying to make money to earn a living. And if you think that they've been around the teams this long and they're still, waving pom-poms and running around, you're crazy. If you think Wickersham wrote a piece because he doesn't like the Patriots.
Not Wickersham. I think there are some people who have.
Okay, yeah.
Against a lot of teams. It's not just the Patriots are special, it's just magnified.
They're columnists. They're not writing facts and saying, look, I broke a story. They're columnists. They're doing opinion pieces.
Yeah. I can't believe you're talking about the Wickersham article. Like, this is like, how did this come up?
Because of the call.
It leads to a bigger conversation. Like a guy, Fred, like Manish Mehta is a perfect example. Mehta understands that if he writes about the Patriots in a negative manner, he'll get clicks. Mm-hmm. And he's been doing it for a decade.
Sure.
And he's very, very good at it.
But he's not coming out and saying...
No, but it's said with a wink and a nod. It's like, I know what I'm doing. Oh. And whenever he comes on this program, he does it with a smile.
And he's also,
he gets it.
And he's also not breaking like news.
No, he's
going,
not.
Oh, yeah, they, you know, like Antonio Brown didn't know it.
He said at this time last year, he thinks Sam Darnold will rise above Tom Brady and be the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, and that's
an
opinion.
And he did that. Yes. And it isn't.
It doesn't matter, John. It's the definition of an opinion.
Yes.
If he believes it or not, who knows?
Those are the people.
Those are opinions.
Right.
They're not facts.
Yes.
Hachi-machi. I mean, that's these calls that these reporters are out to get them.
There's another member of the True Believer Club. There's another member of the Patriots Nation who believes that the entire country is out to get this team, and it's their job, damn it, to defend them.
Jesus.
Defend the wall.
Well, the whole country does hate the Patriots.
Well, I understand that, but
I mean, that's a good reason.
Patriots fans are crazy that way.
That's part of one of the main reasons they hate them.
But as I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, there is a subsection of Patriots fans that will jump on anything and get pissed.
Yeah, and that's one of the main reasons why people hate the Patriots. It's their success, it's Bill Belichick, and it's
that section of the fans. Not all of them, but a section of them.
Of course not all of them. My friends who here are 99% Patriot fans aren't coming up to me and saying Wickersham devised an article to screw the Patriots. What the hell does he care? Guys, I mean, they're not... It's football. It's a game. They're trying to make money. they're not running around, you know, they're not Bills fans trying to undermine the Patriots so the Patriots lose. I mean, you're better than that if you're an adult. Come on. Jesus. Doesn't affect them either way what if the Patriots win or lose. Achimachi. Not this again. All right, what else is coming up, Rich?
Where can we go from here? Let's go to Antonio Brown and some of the... This is actually the court case that he's going through right now about him throwing stuff off the balcony. It's worse than we thought.
Oh, great. And he lost all that money and everything else. Yeah, he's
Drew Rosenhaus walking into court with him. Ride or die, man.
I would have dumped that guy so fast. All right, we'll be right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. What else is going on, Rich?
So, meanwhile, yesterday, Antonio Brown was in court. Oh, you didn't know that? Well, then you must not follow Antonio on Instagram, where he filmed himself entering the courthouse along with all the other reporters while he was smiling right alongside Drew Rosenhaus, filming himself on the way in. Nothing says I'm taking this case seriously more than running live video on social media of your walk into the courtroom, smiling and filming everybody else who was around you. Well, this court case regarded the condo he reportedly wrecked when throwing furniture from the balcony, and now there's video, and it's nuttier than we thought. Have you seen this yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I have not.
Okay. You can see at least four large items come flying off the balcony into the condo's pool area. Some of it lands in the pool, some of it does not, smashing stuff on the way down, and you can see people running for safety as the furniture comes raining down from the balcony. Do we know what floor this was on? I should know this, but I
it was the first floor.
Well, it was from a fairly high floor because the camera angle looks like it's coming from about, you know, 20, 30 feet above the pool.
And this is his own place?
This is one that he rented from somebody. As a matter of fact, the people who are suing him are the people who own the condo. And in the lawsuit, the owners claim that they found broken or defaced furnishings, including a leather couch, silk-covered sofas, appliances. They also claim that he damaged the walls and flooring so badly that they needed to repaint the place. But Brown had previously denied all the allegations, which now there's video, which is fantastic, and vowed to fight the case. In fact, Brown filed a counterclaim against the condo, claiming that his unit was burglarized in April of 2018.
Of course it was.
Due to lack of security at the complex.
Oh, yeah.
This stinks. This is the one where they said that they stole $80,000 in cash and guns while he was out of town.
That's always a good thing to have is $80,000 in guns. Nothing suspicious there.
Yeah. Why? If you're not doing anything nefarious, why would you need $80,000 in cash?
To hold it and look cool.
No, right. He just has so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it. I mean, stuff it under your mattress. Doesn't everyone do that?
I don't think Warren Buffett sits around with, you know, millions of dollars like under in a shoebox.
Maybe he wanted to do a live action photo of his Boomin cartoon when he was signed for the Patriots. Yeah.
Maybe that's how he got the idea of the Boomin cartoon.
Maybe he just saw Scrooge McDuck do it once and thought it would be a great idea to just like lay it all over the room and swim in it.
Right. He had injured himself on the goal before, so he decided that the money was was the way to go.
Well, Antonio was sued by the family of a kid who said that Brown was launching furniture off his balcony and only missed hitting his child and his grandfather by a mere foot or two. I believe one of the people on the video that was released is that kid. And he didn't seem like super close, but it still seemed pretty terrifying.
Close enough.
You don't expect a maniac. Yeah, I mean, imagine, though, if you're sitting there by the pool and you let your two-year-old kind of wander around, as some people do, or like, you know, maybe even a little bit older, and you're just kind of relaxing. All of a sudden, you see stuff being launched towards your child from a balcony.
If you got a little kid, you know, you're looking at the water. The danger does not lie outside of the water. Your main responsibility is to keep them from drowning. You know, if they want to, you know, cruise around the deck a little bit, that's okay. So I focused all my attention on the only thing that should be able to hurt my child, which is the water, and then here comes a sofa.
Well, he struck a settlement with the family, agreeing to put money in the kid's college fund and also donate to a charity. Now, this whole thing is being videotaped, and I'm just wondering when we're going to be able to see the deposition, because it has to be glorious. That's something that I would pay to, you know, like go to a movie theater and watch.
Oh, yeah. He's like all getting...
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, it was not my fault. The furniture just flew out on its own. Call God.
Yeah, God's not a huge fan of Antonio Brown if he's making all these decisions. I'd stop listening to God if I'm Antonio Brown.
That's right. God's looking at the civil suits coming in and going, oh, geez, Antonio, what are you doing?
Yeah. God's gotten too many phone calls from Antonio. Now he's just trying to get rid of him.
Like Antonio Brown's the kind of guy that you could, like, picture, like having actual conversations with who he deems his God.
Right.
My advice would be stop listening to this.
He's God, stop listening to Antonio Brown. when he calls, just, you know, ghost him.
No, because
holy ghost him.
Apparently God has told him to do a lot of really dumb things.
All those voices inside his head. That deep voice.
Yeah, God.
Antonio. You know,
God ghosted me.
Throw the furniture out the window.
And even God should get him on some antipsychotics. God should take him down to a pharmacy. All right. We will return. Rich, I don't know if you know this, but a man's penis was exposed.
I did see that. And you know what? I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often with what was happening with these athletes.
All right. So we will discuss that, because anytime there's penis, it needs to be discussed in great detail. We will have that. No commercials here, just headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.